everyone, and welcome to a brand new episode of Capes and Commentaries. I'm Tyler Baker, and with me as always is Nasty Nate Kennedy, and we're ready to dig into another fun commentary. And Nathan, doing all right today outside from having to...
Don't bring it up.
As soon as
we're done with this, I get to hop in the shower, pack my lunch, and go to work. It's actually really nice outside today, too. I mean, it's going to be hot, but it's still nice. So that it's an extra layer of bummer on top of it. Because
I'll probably go to the lake after this.
I'm off. Oh, it's raining. I got to work. Oh, it's really nice outside. It's funny how that always
happens to me a lot, too. So it's not like,
I'm sure. It happens to everybody. But hopefully, just get it done, over with, enjoy my one day tomorrow, and then we got Independence Day next week, so at least I'm guaranteed a little break next week. It's not going to just one day off, hit the ground, running again for another 5 straight days. So
Which will be Nathan's birthday. It's 4th of July, so people who listen to this podcast, don't be an asshole. Wish him a happy birthday on 4th of July.
Comments down below, fuck you, happy birthday.
Yeah.
Just one thing I want to throw out there to anyone that does, though. Don't ask me. This happened all the time as a kid, and it still happens now. People are like, "Oh, you get fireworks for your birthday, huh?" I'm like,
"Oh God."
I'm like, I mean, not really, because I don't go to watch. I haven't really. When was the last time I even went anywhere to watch fireworks on the 4th?
I see them every year because they go off right in front of
my place, so I see
them all the time.
And you know what? Actually, I could probably see them from where I'm at this year. I know that they always have a minor league baseball game in town on the 4th. Like, ever since any team has been there, they've always had a home game on the 4th, free admission for everybody. And I think they're going to do fireworks at that park, so I guess I could go to my parents' house and watch them too. I don't know.
I don't get excited to watch them though.
Like, I don't here, either.
Like,
I mean,
I'm inside,
like
watching something on, you know, or I don't know. I just don't have that desire to sit down and watch them. I mean, it's really not. I'll gladly watch them if that's the suggested plan or something like that. But for me personally, it's never like I must see it. It's traditionally no.
I don't really have traditions, because I mean, obviously it would be my birthday, and that was always a difficult thing too, because people were either on vacation or had other plans because it is a holiday. So my birthdays were kind of like iffy sometimes, so it would kind of depend. Like, maybe we would have it like the party the weekend before or the weekend after, that way people could show up, or sometimes they just have it on the 4th. And the other bummer is getting money from relatives and anybody else, and then wanting to go spend it that day, and I couldn't because everything was closed. That always sucked.
What would have been closed back then when we were kids, though? Because I figured everything,
for the most part. No, like Walmart and all that stuff used to be closed on the 4th back in the day. I'm talking like way, way back when. It's like 5 or 6.
I guess that would have been right, because if it was the 4th, we were either at Myrtle Beach or we were at home doing something outside, so we really weren't in a position to go shopping anyway. So
And it was always a bummer, because I'm like, let's go buy a video game. Nope, can't do that. Everything's closed. You got to wait until the next day. And I was like, man.
Picture like Nathan sitting in his den with just the party hat on, just the cake. Sitting in front of it, nobody around.
Dude, and it always sucks, because I am terrible at trying to remember dates for people's birthdays. Like, I still even have a hard time with Tyler's. I'm like, is it the 5th or is it the 6th or the 4th? And I do it with my mom. Mine is too easy, and I hate that. It's too easy.
Why? What wouldn't you want people's birthdays to be here? That way you don't feel bad if you goof it or something like, or then you can't goof it, but.
I just wish everyone else's birthdays were on holidays. That way it'd be easier to remember.
Are you kidding? It'd be more of a headache if people's birthdays were on like Valentine's Day and Christmas and all those other things. Then you're stressed and trying to, you know, oh, here's your damn gift. Merry Christmas. You know,
and while I do appreciate when people send the Facebook wishes, I also hate that like that entire day it's just going to be like my phone going off with notifications.
That's why you don't have the notification. Just check it, turn the notification, and then when you go, like, wow, these people really love me. Look at all this. Look at all this joy. You know, I don't have social media notifications. I just strictly like it's a wonderful surprise.
You remember? Did you like? At what point did your birthday stop feeling special? Like, you know, when you're a kid, you're like, oh man, you're kind of excited about it, and you're like, oh, what am I gonna get? Whatever. What age was there like just that decline where it's just like it's just another day?
I mean, honestly, this year I was actually just excited because I just felt good. It was a good day. I got birthday wishes from people at work, and it was just a good day overall. And I was like, you know what? I shouldn't feel ashamed because, you know, I'm 35 years old now. I feel good. I feel better than I did 10 years ago or even 20 years ago. And I was like, you know what? It's not bad. It's a good day. And
no, I'm not saying like ashamed. Just at what point was the excitement of it?
I mean, it's probably been in the last, you know. I mean, pretty much like, you know, once you reach adulthood, most birthdays are pretty much the same. I would just do the routine of, you know, do something with my mom's, do something with my dad. You know, Nathan would bring me something, or at the time, like Matt Hilton would bring me something or something like that. And that was pretty much just it. And the people found out that they'd wish you a happy birthday or something like that. So it pretty much just became a small event, if you're putting it lightly.
I would say for me, it was about probably like 13, 14, like that teenage year you hit and you're like, oh, whatever.
No, I got excited because back then, you know, you didn't have a job. You're lucky to have an allowance if you had that. So back then, it was.
Yeah,
dad would put together like really cool birthday cakes for me and stuff like that. Mom would do something cool for me. So back then, as a teenager in high school, yeah, I was all excited about my birthday. Not that, you know, I wasn't popped or anything like that. And Nathan certainly didn't give a shit. He was too busy, like, you know, making fun of me or something like that. Oh, it's your birthday, man. What, you want something?
My mom still tries. This was like four years ago. Yeah. Oh, I guess one of my packages arrived. Should I just let him bark?
Don't worry about it. Just keep that in. Just talk, man. We're not even doing the commentary right now. We're just chit chatting. So
I like how Emily's not even attempting to get him to quiet.
I heard her say, "Hey."
There we go.
She must have kicked her ass.
Oh, yeah, there's definitely a package I got to. I'm going to mute it. You keep talking.
Well, anyway, like birthdays, they're always fun to look back on when you were kids, because I think we all could say, but a lot of us had memorable birthdays as kids. But I'd say probably once I reached my 20s, birthdays were just, you know, I really can't say I remember any of them in particular for the most part. They all just kind of run together. If I really think, I really had to think hard to think specifically about birthday as an adult. So,
really got to start doing these like either earlier or a little bit later, because it always hits that time where it's like the mail runs. And I'm like, damn it, why'd the package have to show up today? Maybe it is for me. If it is, maybe I can get up towards the end and go unbox it or something. We'll see. But the story I was getting to is 4 years ago, my mom was stupidly excited because the Batman, Arkham Knight game came out, and they came out with like a Batman PS4. And I guess, I don't know how she knew that this was coming out or something, but she waited and waited and got it at Target. And like, I was in a terrible headspace.
I think I have an idea. Yeah.
I was in a shitty headspace because of other things going on. And like, I unwrapped it and I was just like, oh, cool, thank you. And I think it like just wrecked her because I wasn't like, oh, this is amazing. Oh. And that's, and I hate the part too. Were you ever weird as a kid with at parties, like feeling nervous about everyone watching you open up presents? Because I was always like, holy shit, like, oh my God, everyone's just staring at me.
I just would get nervous when it was something I clearly didn't like.
then you have to pretend. What was the... I think we talked about...
I remember specifically it was my birthday from 1990, because it was right before I went and saw the live-action Turtles movie. So we had my actual birthday during the week, and then I had my buddy birthday on that Saturday, and we were going to go see the Turtles movie, which is the same day that those assholes tore up my Deep Six figure in the back seat. But I had gotten a Virginia Tech like sweatsuit, and because, you know, like members of my dad's family, a lot of them worked at Virginia Tech.
So, wait, when you say sweatsuit, are we talking like sweatshirt, sweatpants,
and a sweatpants,
like a windbreaker kind of thing, or just like straight up sweats?
A sweatshirt, okay. And a sweat pair of sweatpants with just Virginia Tech written on there. And at that time, I barely even knew what the hell Virginia Tech was, let alone, you know, care about football or any of that stuff. And, you know, I was getting the Toy Biz 89 Batman figure, Beetlejuice in his groom outfit, you know, a couple of other fun things. And I opened that up, and it came in a box of makeup. So I was like, what the hell is this? And I open it up, and I'm like, because they're recording me. So I have all this footage, like it's on DVD of me at this whole party and everything.
No, wait, you have this.
I had it transferred to DVD and gave a copy to my mom and my brother, because it's like a series of things my mom recorded of us as a kids, and one of them is that birthday party. And actually, she records that day too, where Jason Queen and Justin Twine come over, and we open up gifts, and we run outside and play before we go see the Turtles.
I feel like I need to watch this.
I have a little bit of a blonde mullet, and I'm wearing like skin tight black jeans and a black Batman shirt.
That sounds awesome.
And I'm out of my mind too, because I'm like, I'm excited. It's my birthday, so I'm just acting stupid, you know, just because you're excited, so you just do stupid shit like play guitar with a sofa cushion because you don't know what to do, or you're waiting to open up gifts, so you do stupid shit like that.
But anyway, I need to see this, because I just want to imagine and hear how you sounded as a kid.
I'm just like, my voice is just, you know.
I can imagine it. I have to see this.
It's almost like when I went back and watched it, I was like, I clearly was talking an awful lot like the Turtles at that time, too. Because I just have this, like, oh, man, kind of thing. But I have a Southern accent, too. So a Southern surfer boy, put that combination together with a mullet. And when I open up that box and pull up the sweat, that sweatsuit, I just go, look. Because I'm like, I have... That's all I say.
You're trying to like distract them,
because I'm expected to show whatever I, you know, of course, Beetlejuice and Batman. I'm like, oh man! And I got the Legend of Zelda VHS tape that had one episode on it that I specifically asked for, so I was excited about that. And
I have to watch this.
Yeah, that sweatsuit was one thing I just could not. My enthusiasm is like, I just kind of felt like, why do you buy, unless it had like Ninja Turtles or Batman or something on there? You can't get excited about clothes. And
you know. I think we get that. I watch it. You let me borrow it. I rip it onto my computer and upload it on YouTube on the channel for everybody to watch.
I don't even have a copy of it. Like I think I just made it for a Christmas gift for them. So I don't even know. My brother's is in Charlotte, and I have no idea where, because my mom, she ends up disregarding any movie I've ever gotten her and claims, oh yeah, it's great. You never watched it. No.
There's not much video of me as a kid. There's one at my cousin's birthday party. Did I already tell the story? Maybe I don't know. But we're playing like these shitty party games. It's almost like like there's Pin the Tail on the Donkey, of course. Yeah. And then they had this dumb thing where, like, here's a mason jar, here's some clothespins, and you got to drop them. You get like 10, and how many can you get in the mason jar? And I'm like fucking up, and everyone's like laughing at me, and I, you know, me especially younger, but imagine it being worse when I was littler, of being pissed off about like not winning at something. So
not much has changed.
Yeah, I turn around and I think I start like tearing up a little bit. I'm like, this game is stupid. And I like take off running and go up the stairs like an ass.
I hate cursive and I hate all of you. I'm never coming back. Yeah.
Yeah. It was horrible. I'm sure like that never got it's on VHS, so that's somewhere at my parents' house. If I ever dig that up, I will find a way to get that transferred to DVD.
Now, the only thing I know I have a copy of is me meeting Michelangelo at King Video. Like, that is something
I would like to also see that and maybe rip it, find a way to put it on the computer and upload it onto YouTube, because that would be great.
I think it's around the same year as that, too. It was in the summertime, I think. I have a really soft-pitched voice in that video, though, because I'm nervous.
Well, I have to see this. The other funny thing about that cousin's birthday party is his mom is very stupid, to put it lightly.
Was this the same mom of the same person like I'm thinking of?
I don't think so. But she looked at my grandma and was like, "Miss Candy, you know how to cut a cake? I don't know how to cut a cake. I couldn't cut a cake to save my life." You fucking cut it. Like, what?
I picture, is that what little Nathan said back then?
No. I probably thought it, but I didn't say it. Well, maybe I probably did say it. As a kid, I was like, you know how kids can be just brutally honest sometimes? Mm-hmm. That was me all the time. Having a yard sale, and family came over, and I was pissed. I didn't want them there. And they could tell someone made the mistake. They're like, "Well, what's wrong?" I was like, "I don't want you here. I want you to go home." I was a dick. As a kid, I was a dick. And then that dropped off a little bit, but I was still a dick as a teenager.
Yeah, I was gonna say that to me it was like a beanstalk of evil with you, man. It was just brutal.
And now I've calmed down quite a bit.
Yeah, yeah.
Emily did confirm I did get a package from Big Bad Toy Store. So maybe we'll crack that open at the end of the show. Do an unboxing. Good, did we do that last week or the week before? That was last week, yeah, because I got the Night of the Creep stuff. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, it was last week, yeah.
It all blends together. Time, perception.
Pretty much at this point. But birthdays they're always fun. I mean, the ones as kids are the most significant and the more easy to remember, you know, as an adult, unless you're doing, like, some big birthday bash or something like that. For the most part, they all run together.
I think last year stuck out to me a little more than other birthdays, just because the past few years it's usually just been going to my parents and spending time with a girlfriend, whoever I was with.
Yeah.
At the time. And last year was cool because you came over, had another friend come over. We just hung out here in the back porch, had a little fire going. Then you and I played video games. It's a good time. Yeah,
that was fun. You know, it's I mean, there were some good ones, because Erica would do like a lot of cool stuff for me and things like that too. But like, they were all, you know, it's kind of like the thing, you go see your parents or you do something with your girlfriend kind of thing. It's it's not like when you have like a bunch of buddies over for like a party or something like that, and there's a theme, or you go to a restaurant and, you know, your buddies show up or something like that. And because those were some fun ones. Like, oh, man, I remember I got that toy, and I got this toy, and I got a Keen from the WF Hasbro line, you know, for my seventh birthday. And it was
that's
awesome.
That's really random. Who got you the Keen?
I think a guy we went to high school with who was a few years older than us.
Okay.
Because Scott Hughes, and his brother was like 2 years younger than us, I think. But he used to stay at the same babysitter as me and my brother did in the afternoons, and we went to the same church, and we all liked wrestling, and I invited him, and he got me Akeem. I got like the Swamp Thing cartoon where you can his arm it extends, and yep. I got like the swamp buggy or something, like it was one of the vehicles from the Swamp Thing.
Is this also the one like you squeeze his legs and it retracts?
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. That's actually the one I think I have sitting over.
Yeah, I got that for that same birthday, and I had Lauren McCroskey, who was my big crush back in elementary school. She showed up too, and
oh, that's a really weird crush.
Oh God, I was nuts about her from like kindergarten till second grade, and then third grade she cut her hair off and looked ugly as hell. I was like, oh God, man, I can't. And then it grew out a little bit more in fourth grade, and that's when I had a thing for Whitney White back then too. So it was, but yeah, Lauren McCroskey. Well, I had a big for her, man. My mom remembers it vividly. I mean, I was nuts about that girl.
Well, Lauren, hope you're out there. Hope you're listening.
Yeah, I'm sure she's listened to a podcast of 80s cartoons that she never watched.
What are they talking about? All birthdays.
Yeah. My mom likes to remember, like, when I went, because she was related to, like, Sarah and Casey Dotson, like, I forgot how, but she knew the elderly couple lived next door to us, and she used to come over, so I'm like, oh, my God, like, Lauren McCroskey. So I go out and like I try to mac on her in front of like this tree, and mom was, remembers me leaning against the tree, like I'm trying to be all Zach Morris and stuff. She loves to remember that. Yeah, I had it big for her, and to have like a girl you're crazy about show up at your birthday party, it was like a fun moment though.
I never had that happen as a kid. I remember I think when I turned 12. Erica, I had an Erica back then. I don't want people to get confused because you bring up Erica, and if I say Erica, yeah, they're like, wait, is that the same person?
No. Yeah, same Erica. Yeah, yeah.
No, it's not. But this girl I was dating, she came over to my birthday party, and I remember, like, John hated her, absolutely hated her. So they never got along, and it was that whole bullshit. I'm like, well, I want to hang out with my cousin because, like, he's my best friend. At the time, you know, because he's over here, like, during the summer, he's, like, spending the night staying over here, like, every day. We're hanging out. We're playing video games. It's great. And then she goes over to the basketball goal that we have set up in the backyard, and she's just, like, leaning up against it. Or like, playing that shit of, like, don't hang out with your buddy. You need to spend time with me kind of thing. Just that. It's fucking dumb. I remember
Drama on the birthday,
man. And I'm wearing like this white Nike shirt. It's got like a basketball on it, but it's like Tar Heel colors.
Yeah.
And you know, like those golf hats, but you remember how you would wear them backwards? Cause that was like the cool shit back in like 1995.
Oh, I remember.
So I like had that on, and I had like some fucking necklace. Anyway,
that was a popular thing around that age too, which occasionally you'll still see like kids around that age, like young boys, like with their hats all backwards and or a necklace of some kind, and you know, you do whatever you think is gonna make you look cool, and
there is photographic evidence of all of this. So one day I just need to, here's what we need to do for an episode of the podcast one day that would be beneficial, I guess, to the people catching us on YouTube. Probably not so much like Podbean and iTunes, but maybe we should find old pictures of all the shit that we've talked about similar to and just like show them for everybody to see.
I mean, there's pictures, but God, it would just be an enormous pain in the ass trying to find a lot of those pictures because I don't have everything documented either.
Well, fine, I'll do it because I know exactly, because my mom keeps that shit in the exact same spot. It has not moved in 20 years. She's only added to it. It's just like a little cabinet, and you open it and it just explodes with picture albums.
Now, my mom's got albums like that too, but I just felt like she's got so many albums, like I just don't have it in me to take time to go.
I'll go digging and I'll share. And we'll maybe we can get that video of you at King Video meeting Michelangelo. Yeah. Get it uploaded. That way people can watch it. But the main reason we're here is we're going to talk Thundercats. We're talking the episode The Mountain. Lion-O decides that he's going to hike a mountain for fun, and trouble awaits.
Which originally we were going to do Silverhawks, and I found out Nathan hadn't bought it yet.
Was a fun conversation. I was like, well, I got to work. Let me know what you want to do. He's like, well, let's do Silverhawks. It's blah, blah, blah on disc one. I'm like, I don't have that on DVD. I'm like, is it on YouTube or anything? He's like, yeah, you got paid for it. I'm like, fuck it. I'll buy the season. So that'll come down the pipeline here in the next couple of weeks.
Yeah. If not, it'll be next week or the week after, depending on what Nathan's work schedule is like. But that is coming. To finally do some Silverhawks, but I figure Thundercats is, you know, something I, you know, that's without question, but just trying to keep it mixed up, you know, and I even thought about trying to do Visionaries, but that's not available on YouTube either, and I don't know how good the quality is on like Daily Motion or anything like that, so there's other options, but just trying to keep it mixed up in the mountains, one of the best episodes of the series of Thundercats anyway, so I figured it'd be a good one to do, so. Are you ready, dude?
Yeah. Yeah. Go ahead, man. And give us the countdown. There's no link down below, so you guys find your own way of watching along with us.
Yeah, I'm watching off a purchase I made on iTunes, so you can get on there right now for $1.99 if you want to watch it right now or
see the DVD. I to me, I would rather just like buy it in bulk on a disc, because like $2 per episode, it almost seems like when you weigh that out with how many episodes there are, you're almost paying more than you would if you were to buy it physically.
Well, but a lot of these episodes, like, I would watch like while I'm at work, you know, like on a lunch break or something like that.
Right? So it makes sense, but I'm just sometimes I
can understand that. I'm just a bigger fan than you are, anyway.
Anyway, probably, but go ahead and give us the countdown.
All right, 3, 2, 1, action. Slight. What the hell?
Is it not playing for you?
Damn it. Son of a bitch.
I'll just sit here and watch there the intro.
All right. I'm like 11, 12 seconds in now.
So I'm about 14 seconds ahead of you. Whatever, it'll work.
I'll just fast forward just a tad here. Okay.
Then the cats are loose.
But I didn't see this episode till DVD because, I mean, if you're a Thundercats fan, you know that there was only a handful of episodes available on VHS. And when this was on in syndication, I feel like I can only catch it at random times, and it would come on in the mornings. And I've only got a couple of memories of certain episodes specifically. Like, I remember, I think, Fond Memories and I think Return to Thundera Part 2 were the episodes I remember vividly seeing on TV. Everything else I would just have to rent back then, because they, you know, FHE only released a few, there's a decent amount of VHS tapes. But this was one that, you know, just going through the episodes on DVD, I'm like, holy hell, man, this is a great episode. I mean, it's a simple episode and pretty much like the standard cast, but it's just a great idea. And God, it's awesome. And it's just kind of, I mean, it's always fun to see villains and heroes have to team up. To a certain degree, they team up, but it just kind of makes for like a survival of the fittest kind of scenario, almost, you know, based on what's going on or what will happen here. But it's a fun scenario, like, you know, Mom Rob berating them for like, look, you know, you guys can't do jack shit, right? You know, Lina's climbing mountains because you guys aren't a threat anymore.
I mean, that is a good way of episode-wise, like, giving them something to do to sort of find a way to potentially redeem themselves.
And it's cool because it does work. Like, the mutants are successful in getting the Sword of Omens, but it's just one of those. I mean, obviously, they're not going to win in the end, but it's just fun to see them, you know, actually be successful in this ambush that they that they're gonna, you know, plan online on the mountain here. It's like a quintessential action adventure episode. You know, I think keeping the cast pretty simple. It's not mass numbers. The shot of them, I like that inside the cave, their eyes glowing. That was badass.
That's probably what I'll end up making the thumbnail for this episode.
Yeah, I think it's one of the best images of the episode. Now, did you watch this beforehand, or are you watching this for the first time here?
I started to watch it, but it was, oh man, it was super, super late. That's the problem with working second shift, man. You get home, you want to cram so much shit into your night, try to make the most of it, and then just get too comfortable.
You spent too much time watching Breaking Bad. That's what it was.
Hey, I'll give them credit. It's actually as good as people said it was. Got two more seasons left. But I think I watched about half of it.
Plus, it's a great setting for an epic fight between good and evil pretty much too as well. Like, it's just it's stories like this that they don't have to be outlandish and like, oh, they're looking for this crazy artifact or this giant plan is going to destroy the planet or the universe. It's just kind of pitting good against evil over a common goal is to, you know, protect the Sword of Omens here. And it's cool too that, you know, Lano just at times just struggles to think that, you know, can I take him on by myself? And obviously he's clearly overwhelmed here, which when you had to have a reason to bring in the rest of the Thundercats, but it's smart. Like, it's not done out of, you know, like it feels justified. Plus two, you got Panther and Tiger. I mean, that's just, I feel like I don't know if it, I mean, it would have worked if you had Chitauri in or some of the other Thundercats that would come on later on in season two. But how far did you make it here as we're watching it? Like, I'm just,
I would say it's probably like halfway, 12, 13 minutes in. And then I was just like, which I never want people to think too, like, sometimes I get comfortable watching stuff and I'm just like, oh, this is nice to fall asleep to. There's nothing wrong with that. I wasn't bored or anything. It was just comforting. I don't know any other way to explain that. I guess it all just sounds bad. I'm an asshole. I fell asleep. I apologize.
But I like playing the vulnerability that we're going to be seeing here too, because you know, obviously, if you, I'm assuming that people who are listening to this have seen this episode at least a few times or at least once, and knowing we're going to be setting up for a kind of splitting of the parties here. But I think this will make for such a great fight in general. God, I feel like I'm not saying anything of interest right now. I feel like I'm just rambling right now because the episode speaks for itself. I mean, it's just a great kick-ass episode, and we're seeing this, you know, 3-on-3 fight. And I mean, it's I've always loved the fight between Lionel and Jacqueline as it gets more, you know, it just progresses more and more and more, and these weapons of theirs that have pretty much drained Lionel's power. I mean, it's a great plot device here to pretty much allow Jacqueline to get a hold of the Sword of Omens and play up his cunning mentality of like, you know, I'm going to be the one running the show here. I just love this. It's so awesome. And these four are going to have to work together here. I love watching Panther just bounce all over the place. God, he's so badass.
That's the thing. Like, do they ever really sit and think, like, they are cats, so they're going to have that agility? I feel like they never go into it with that mindset.
Well, I also feel like too, like, when, you know, there, I think it was Wildstorm at the time when they were doing the comics, that, you know, they are named after cats, but I often feel like they're not, like, you know, they don't act like cats though. But I feel like the agility, like, yeah, that makes sense because they're kind of, you know, they're a superhuman group, so they're going to have, you know, incredible strength and powers and things like that, but they don't necessarily have to be cat-like. I mean, they're humans. I mean, are human-like. That's like when Wildstorm did the Dogs of War. Like, well, they're dogs. Like, they actually look like dogs. They stand upright, and like the Thundercats look human. They don't have like a cat face. You right. Know, none of them do. Like, you don't quite understand like the idea. Like,
that's kind of weird how this ultimately ended up working out quite well when you just how you broke it down. It's like, well, why would a kid be into that? Because they always are thinking of that mindset that we have to find a way for the children to relate to these characters. I'm just rambling now.
Well, no, I mean, when I watched Thundercats, I mean, I always wanted to be Lionel because he was the leader and he was a great hero and he had the Sword of Omens and he just looked awesome and he kicked everyone's ass. So it was, as a 4 or 3-year-old, how do you relate to that? You just seem as like you want to be a hero. Like, that's what you wanted to
do. Oh,
be,
yeah, right? No, yeah. Without a doubt. I'm just saying, it's funny how something like this or Ninja Turtles worked, because when you think about the idea, like, really break it down, you're like, that does sound kind of ridiculous. It's amazing how popular it all became.
Oh, I mean, it's that staple that I guess they just feel like in today's world. I mean, even though superheroes, I like that shot. Like Jackman has that look. Like, you know, there's risk of drowning. Like this guy is gonna risk life and death or whatever it takes just to get that sort of. I was like, I love his insatiable greed during all this. Like even when Lionel was like, ah, oh, hell, and paying the price for it here, going down the waterfall.
I just
I
let him
just love
die,
that.
man.
God, that's all. That's just incredible. All of that, so well animated. Just not the kind of grit fight that you would get in children's animation today. I mean, kids like heroes. They want to, you know, they dress up to pretend to be Spider-Man, Captain America, Batman, Superman, Iron Man, so on and so forth. But I just kind of feel like that they don't play it as straight as it could be, and it's just you know, I mean, some people may look back at a lot of these cartoons and think they're just silly as shit, which I say you're a moron. Some of them, because every animated series has its share of duds where you're like, oh, you just roll. This is cool. It's just Jackalman being successful.
Yeah, that's gonna work.
Yeah. But it's one of those things too, like, you know, they established early on that the Sword of Omens doesn't work in the hands of evil and it's not used as an offensive weapon. So even if it's used to maybe even deliberately try to harm someone, it will not operate. It will pretty much just pull itself away from you. I mean, we see that in the Unholy Alliance. And that it just does not work in the hands of evil, period. But I've always thought it was still great that even though the mutants, I'm fairly certain they're aware that they can't use it, but the weapon is so legendary and powerful that, well, we'd rather see it in our hands and not be able to use it than it be in the hands of our enemy. And this is a great scenario. You never get tired of seeing the villains and heroes having a temporary alliance. Like stubborn, like monkey, and is like the one. They're such great looking villains. God, I really wish Thundercats would come back and it be put in the hands of somebody who really wants to pay homage to this series. I mean, 'cause all this stuff can still work. It's not products of our time. I refuse to believe that. Because if that were the case, then people wouldn't give a shit about Spider-Man and Batman. They've been around for decades. If they're products of their time, they just evolved with the times. So many great environment and details here. Just all of this, like it's just this episode really could have just been Lionel and Jackalman and nobody else. It just could have been just those two fighting along the mountainside. And just taking time to show you Jackalman's mentality here of like bragging about how it's going to be when he tells everyone he took out Lionel and claimed the Sword of Omens. Like, it's awesome to get in the mind of a villain like that because he is a villain. Just pure greed and evil.
So I'm like, dude, you're wasting so much time, like monologuing here. Just keep walking. He's on his way.
Classic villain mentality, though. That's what you expect your villain to do. And it does make sense too that, you know, you want to see, as kids and, you know, as an adult at times too, it's fun to see the heroes and villains team up. But it's pretty realistic though that Sly and the Monkey would just sit on their ass and not do anything. Like they're not attacking because they need to get out of there. So it does work to not actually have them literally working together. They're just sitting there waiting for them to attack. Because I think it's cool to the Tiger and Panther are aware, like, no, they're going to attack us the first chance they get. It's like Sly, like, lifts his tail up.
It's like me with people I work with. I'm sitting there doing most of it, and they're just chilling.
Yep. I can relate to that at times myself. Oh, you know, it's, I don't know if it's just strictly like what makes these scenarios so interesting for, like, from comic books, and when you see it like in He-Man and She-Ra, Turtles, like whatever the case may be, it's just, I guess it's something so different, something that you never really expect to see when you're watching an action adventure show, and every so often you see something that's out of the ordinary, something you just don't really expect that to be plausible. So when you do see it, I think it's what makes this scenario as many times it's been used. And I mean, like when you see like a Harley Quinn and Batman team up in Harley Quinnade in season 3, like it's a temporary alliance, but it's still an interesting dynamic that, you know, it's a story that we've seen time and time again in entertainment, but it never gets old because you just wonder, how is this going to go? You know, it's not going to go well, but I guess that's why. It's like, you don't know how long will it last? What would be the repercussions of this temporary alliance? And seeing the chain come out of Lioness Claw Shield, that's a badass addition.
I think the most recent thing that I can recall that I've watched was the 2012 Turtles. What was that Maze episode where, what was it? They had to team up with Razor and...
I know there was Baxter's Gambit where you had like Dog Pound and Fish Face having to team up with the Turtles to get out.
Oh, yeah, it was Dog Pound. Yeah, he hadn't turned yet. Yeah, man.
And that was a good episode, too. Like, even when they got out, they just say, you know what? We're too tired. We're not doing this. And then I think Fish Face throws that kind of phantasm ball at Raph, and he catches it, and they just look at each other. It's just kind of like, you know.
Next time.
Yeah. It was cool, though. And it never gets old. It's always fun to watch the heroes and villains team up. And I like this too. Like, they really play up. Like, Lionel's, I'm gonna beat your ass, man. Like, I saved your life, and like Jacqueline's scared shitless. No, I like that. And it's just evil to the very end. You know, never do a favor for a favor. Like, just taunting Lionel. You see people, this is how you write a henchman. And it's awesome too to have.
I didn't know that was gonna happen. Balls.
But no matter what, it's such a powerful weapon. I mean, you'd rather have it and not be able to use it than see the Thundercats earn it. So I think it's still plausible that even after this episode, you would think that, you know, dude, the weapon is useless to us. We can't do anything with it. It pretty much turns on us. But I like this, that, you know, earlier online, it was just like, was tempted to even let Jackalman die, like contemplating it. Like that, I think that's just a nice little addition to Lionel's character, knowing what and who he's dealing with here. And again, doing it again, like Lionel's, I'm sure logically, yeah, would have much preferred to have just dropped him on his ass down the cliff.
Even then, help me, and still just like, no. Man. Like, you know you messed up when you actually have Lionel, like, yelling at you.
Which is not something we would see too often, which was awesome to see it in this episode. Because heroes should have limits, you know? It should not be just strictly they come off as a preachy evangelist almost, where they're just coming along and just telling you, you know, well, you know, today you shouldn't do this because of this and this and that. And the villains, oh yeah, you know what, you're right. I'm sorry. It, you know, I think it's what makes the heroes have a lot of layers when you push the limits and test them. And that every episode shouldn't be just, okay, you learned your lesson. All right, get out of here. And I think all of them have been pushed to the limits. You know, Spider-Man and Batman have, you know, He-Man, I want to say specifically. Yeah, I mean, there's been times where you feel like He-Man's like, you know what, I've had it. You know, I'm going to kick your ass. And this ends, you know, much like how Baxter's Gambit think it's the name of that. That is the name of the episode, isn't it? Or Baxter's Gauntlet? Something like that. Forgive me, Turtles fans. I've watched that episode so many times, too, and it's what happens. You draw blanks when you're doing it live here. I wouldn't make a great professional wrestler on promos.
We're live, pal.
Yeah, I'd be asking to do replays all the time.
Baxter's Gambit.
Okay, so, yeah. But, I forgot where the hell I was going with this point.
How this episode ended in a similar fashion as that did.
It's just like, I guess it is a little bit, not quite the same, you know, because they do threaten to keep going, and they clearly don't have it in them, because the mutants will get their ass kicked. But it's a fun scenario. It's a fun episode, and it's just not too often you see a lot of like specifics when it comes to Thundercats. I mean, you have the thundercats.org website, but in terms of with fans, I don't know how specific a lot of the because for the most part, anything I see on social media is just people posting pictures of toys and stuff like that. You really don't see a whole lot of discussion on, you know, oh man, this episode, I remember running this VHS tape, or what do you think about this character? It's pretty much just toys. So I don't know if it's in the fan community, but for me personally, it's one of my personal favorites. And it's a heavily underrated episode. But in the end, too, it's not something I have seen amongst Thundercat fans of, like, heavily celebrated episodes in the series. Other than people poking fun at X's because they start out with no clothes on. And people just try to come up with, like, juvenile humor, just make fun of it. And that's just when I want to smash their head clean out of their ass. I swear, when I would watch this a lot of times, too, like with a lot of cartoons, I'd get kind of down in the dumps when the credits would start rolling. When I knew the episode was winding up, I'm like, oh, man, the joy is over.
I feel like people do that when they listen to this podcast. Like, oh, man, another episode's over.
They probably do. I like to think that. At least that's what I'm going to tell myself. That when people
I'll make you sleep episode, better at night.
Yeah. Like people are like, oh, man, now I got to wait till next week. Oh, man, not doing an episode this week. Man, worst weekend ever.
So yeah, we've attempted to be a little more consistent with Capes and Commentaries. Apologies out there to you guys that have been wondering where the Beyond Retro proper podcast, but we should have something coming up down the pipeline since Stranger Things season 3 is coming out next week.
Trailers for that haven't been that interesting, I thought.
You know what? I was actually telling Emily that last night. I was like, I'm going to watch it, but I don't feel as excited about it.
It certainly has not that it's been gone away for as long as it has. It's what been like two years?
I want to say.
But, every trailer that's come out hasn't been that energizing. It just kind of comes off like it's going to be more of the same. You know, it'd be interesting to see all the throwback. I'm sure it'll be good, but in terms of my excitement, like watching season 2 when they had that kick-ass throw with Thriller, variation of Thriller. Oh my God, man,
I wanted to ask you, do you have any new Coke on hand on you at all?
No, I don't.
Is that easy for you to obtain? Because I want to try it and I haven't seen it in stores anywhere.
You haven't? I've seen it quite a bit. Like, I've seen it at Walmart. It's got end caps of it. And then Five Below, they have, like, an ice barrel I had to fill up just the other day with the new Coke cans.
Huh.
Yeah, so it's out and about right now with Stranger Things written right on there and everything.
Yeah, but does it say, like, new Coke on it?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, because I've seen Walmart has, like, the end cap, but it just says, like, Coke on it, and then, like, Stranger Things. It doesn't say, like, doesn't have that design. Well,
that's what they're playing off is that. I don't know. Because I haven't been asked to bring in any of the locations that I take care of. It's just strictly been something.
Well, I'll have to find it because I want to try it. What I gather, from what I gather, it tastes like Pepsi.
Yeah, I don't know of anybody who's tried it.
But I want to.
Yeah. Well, I mean, even if even if not, like, it still has that fun design. It's just kind of like a fun display item almost, too.
Yeah.
You know, they have that 1985 style Coke.
Yeah.
But I think it's pretty cool they're doing that as a nice, which I'm just curious, like, how much of a place that...
It's probably like a five-second throwaway thing.
Could be, or like a brief discussion as mentioned in the show, because the best stuff about Stranger Things is when they take, is like we said before, and they take time to show them as kids and doing what kids do and talking about movies or TV or toys or just going through the things that kids do. Those tend to be my favorite parts of the show, like the stuff with drawing another blank here too, Demogorgon.
Yeah,
and those creatures from the other dimension. Like, I mean, that stuff's all great, but I have more fun watching them be kids and do that stuff. Like seeing them at the mall. Like, I'm looking forward to seeing all the stuff that happens at the mall and like arcades and how people are dressing and making references and stuff. But yeah, I have not been as energized and pumped for this next season, and I put a lot of that on how the trailers have just been like, eh.
But maybe maybe that's a good thing in disguise. Maybe they just didn't want to give away too much or something.
Well, I didn't feel like season two gave away too much either. It was just, you know, I love a good trailer where you got to have the right kind of music, the right kind of footage, and blend it together to where you get like pumped and energized. And it's like after that season two trailer, man, it's like they just like, well, we can't top that, so we're just gonna have like these just kind of generic trailers. And I don't know. Maybe others, it's just my own personal opinion. I'm sure others probably thought they were great and didn't see any issues with it. But
I've only seen one trailer. I haven't watched any more. I kind of pulled a Joe on. I'm like, not really a Joe. It just sort of passed me by. But let me go grab that box. I'll unbox that real quick, and we'll wrap it up. So if you guys got any questions in the chat, well, there's already one here that I can go ahead and let you answer, and then I'll mute my microphone and grab that. JSP asked, how loud did you guys gasp when the Sword of Omens was broken?
I just kind of in mild shock, but yeah, it was going to be fixed somehow. Nothing earth shattering or anything like that. I didn't because it's been broken a couple times in the series, but nothing that made me feel like, you know, oh my god, like how are they going to get out of this? It's just because, you know, it's going to be put back together. So didn't leave it as a shocking as if I'd seen it as a kid, I think it would have been a little bit more impactful, but didn't have that kind of long lasting impression on me since it was quickly fixed. At least in the two occurrences that I can remember, when Tugmug broke it and when Groom the Destroyer broke it also. But yeah, not as memorable as you think it might be. At least for me. But also, if people have any suggestions for other animated series or specific episodes, you know, for things that we've done, whether you have an episode of Rambo or an episode of X-Men or Spider-Man or Batman or Justice League, Bionic Six, Silverhawks, Visionaries, any suggestions or thoughts, you know, feel free to throw them out there. You know, because we want to cover a lot of a wide variety of not just, you know, the superhero stuff, but a lot of the action adventure shows that, hell, even Chuck Norris and the Karate Commandos is something that crossed my mind too. I wouldn't mind even tackling that at some point too. The Deadly Dolphins, I think is the name of the first episode or something like that. But, anytime you got, suggestions, you know, throw them out to us. You know, we welcome, all thoughts and suggestions. There's some stuff I don't know if we'll have too much interest in doing. But I mean, not every 80s action adventure show, because honestly, I've never watched an episode of Jason the Wild Warriors. Never really been too interested in it, to be honest. And like stuff like Brave Star, and I've never seen Sectars, but I'd be interested in checking that out as well. But I'm pretty much open minded with a lot of that stuff. But just encouraging listeners that if you have thoughts or suggestions, please send them out to us. You know, we like to honor them as much as we can. And Nathan has returned here and give the trendy unboxing thing. I can't believe it's still popular with people.
What all did I miss?
I was just kind of rambling about. I answered the question and just kind of encouraged people to send suggestions on series of cartoons or specific episodes. And I said, well, Nathan's going to do the trending unboxing thing, which I'm like, I can't believe it's still popular with people. People love to watch people unbox stuff.
Package from Big Bad Toy Store. We got Karate Kid figures. There we go. We got Mr. Miyagi.
Miyagi there. Chopsticks and all there.
Yeah, this actually looks really good. I'm curious how Daniel's going to look. Oh, yeah. There we go. Johnny Lawrence.
Yeah, like. And his. Obviously, you got to put the hood back. But they got the hood on in the box.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you're a men-on-box collector, that would suck. But.
Yeah, I'm definitely going to let these guys breathe because I got something kind of cool planned. Moment of truth. I see what they were going for. Like, it looks better than it did in the promo shots, but it's still, like, not.
I thought you got that tournament 2-pack.
That's coming. It shipped a little bit later than, I guess, these three came in before that set did. Yeah. But I do have the tournament 2-pack with Daniel and Johnny. It's going to have the mat and the trophy and everything. Not bad. Not great. I will see how that other company that's putting out a Daniel and Johnny. Yeah. We'll see how those turn out. I mean, you know, those are just like it might not look like that in the finished product, but you ready?
Yeah, let's see.
You ready? It's not bad. Yeah. It's kind of underwhelming. From a distance, it'll look better.
It doesn't look up close like it. Yeah. Yeah. Johnny Miyagi look great, but Daniel, no, does not look.
Yeah, he just looks a little off.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, you can even see it, like, here on the back of the packaging. Like, Miyagi looks great, but Daniel, yeah, there's just something off about him.
Yeah, they just could not get Ralph Macchio's likeness down. I don't. Hell, all four of the Golden Girls look better than that.
Yeah, I've seen those in person. They look fantastic.
Yeah, they do look good.
Well, there we go. There was your relatively quick unboxing. I get to go do all that bullshit before work now. So Tyler already gave some recommendations. I'm going to encourage you guys, if you're new to the channel, make sure you hit that subscribe button, like the video, and ring that bell so you get notified when we go live for Capes and Commentaries podcast, when we do Beyond Retro, or when I eventually get around to playing video games again for everybody. And
then next week will either be Silverhawks or Dick Tracy / Rocketeer. It'll be a feature-length film of one of those two or Silverhawks. Yeah. So just so you know, there will be no changing. It's going to be one of those for next week.
Unless Tyler changes one, though. We're gonna stick to that.
Yeah, that's I'm pretty much, because we haven't done Silverhawks yet, and we've yet to do Dick. I'd say we'll probably end up doing Dick Tracy. If we do it, we'll do Dick Tracy.
Probably. So we'll come around to Rocketeer down the line.
Yeah.
Check out our links on iTunes and Podbean if you guys want to download us and throw us on your digital device, whether that be an iPod if you're old people like we are, or, you know, have it on your phone, whatnot. Check out Fans of Power. I hesitated for a second there. Check out Fans of Power, the He-Man and the Master Universe podcast, hosted by Tyler Baker, Joe Amato, and myself every Sunday at 9 p.m. Eastern. Going to have a special guest this week, as far as I know.
Yep,
I think we got that.
She has agreed, and she is going to be there. So we're pretty much ready to go for tomorrow night's recording.
Yeah, we'll get a cauldron set out. We'll do a seance. We'll summon some
demons and
summon some demons.
Yeah, do all kinds of crazy Elvira stuff.
So yeah. We're all gonna have our boobs hanging out. And we're gonna be watching horror movies.
Yeah, yeah. Making all kinds of, like, you know, tit puns and all kinds of stuff like that, or just, you know, just be as raunchy as Elvira, Mistress of the Dark. Boy, that's a great underrated film. It really is.
I think my favorite part in that film is how's your head? Oh, no complaints.
It's like I like when the mechanic's just telling her, you know, hey, you got the hotel down the street. She walks away, goes, nice tits. And just comes out and says it. Like, it just, One of my favorite lines I've always like remember since as a kid was the sleazy Texas owner. He goes, "It's milking time," and she knocks the hell out of him. I just remember thinking that was so funny as a kid. God, it's fun because of all like the silly like sex puns and stuff like that too. But it's just a blast. It's a great film. It really is. It's a fun Halloween film.
Between stuff like that and UHF, I mean, even thinking like Dick Tracy and Rocketeer, it's like, take some chances. Like, yes, those were already like established things before you turn them into feature films, but take chances, damn it. Anyway, we won't get on that.
If it's good, it will find its audience. That's the thing. Those films did, yeah.
Yeah, that's true. Because you think about The Thing, another movie that didn't do well at the box office. Critics fucking hated it. And then years down the road, it found its audience. And it's like, now it's a...
I like to think that my taste was above theirs because when I first saw it, I was like, this is genius. Man, this is a masterpiece. And Roger Ebert was like, man, it was a piece of shit.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's since changed his mind. But yeah, still, it's like, weird. I got it first. He didn't.
Yeah. Well, I was watching a little documentary thing on YouTube about Jim Henson and how... Dark Crystal and Labyrinth, the critics didn't really care much for it, and Labyrinth didn't do well at the box office. Yep. And now it's one of those things. It's just a cult. Like, I could probably go walk into a Hot Topic right now and there would probably be some merchandise.
Yeah, same thing for Dark Crystal. I mean, Dark Crystal was another film that Netflix has got that miniseries coming up, you know, based on that too. So but I also felt like, too, the 80s was the last creative decade as well, where even though as many chances were taken, not everything was a giant success initially, and it would become a giant hit on VHS and eventually DVD, and the merchandise keeps coming out and stuff like that. And then, like, you know, some shitty website puts out, like, a really lame-ass T-shirt from some great film and has to put some unnecessary slogan underneath it to think that, oh, yeah, I'm funny. It's like David Bowie, like, smile and check out my batch. That's the slogan, check out my batch, or something like that. You know, whatever.
Great. Yeah.
But it's. All right, we'll just keep going here. Let's wrap it up here.
We'll just keep going. Hit Joe up for a custom bias T-shirts. If you guys checked out Fans of Power and saw our NWO shirts, those are on the site. So all that linkage down there, click all that stuff. Like, video, comment, things. Until then, see you in the future. Talk about the past. I don't want to go to work. I should just call in.